This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Now with part one of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good morning. Your grain futures from yesterday, Monday, off the Board of Trade, had corn closing with nickel gains, soybean markets closing in the red, and the wheat market was also weaker on Monday. First off, in your corn, front month corn futures closed yesterday, Monday, 3¾ to 5½ cents higher. The USDA announced 149,572 metric tons of private corn sales to an unknown destination Monday morning. USDA's weekly export inspections report had corn shipments for the week ending on Christmas Eve at 993,710 metric ton. That was up from 770,000 metric tons 2 weeks ago and 409,000 metric tons for the same week last year. Top destinations were China, Mexico, and Japan. Marketing year-to-date corn exports were 13.73 million metric ton, compared to 8.05 million metric tons shipped to the same point last season. For sorghum, USDA reported 205,768 metric tons shipped on the week. That was even with last week and well above the 4,049 metric tons from the same week last year. The holiday-delayed commitment of traders report showed a short covering and new buying from corn traders extending long by 15,453 contracts to 265,713. Commercials also added 30,000 new short contracts, keeping them mostly net short since December of 2010. Again, your corn futures 3¾ to 5½ cents higher. Monday soybean trading left futures 7 to 8½ cents in the red. Soybean meal futures closed $1.40 to $1.50 a ton lower. Bean oil futures were 8 to 14 cents weaker at the close. The Argentine strikes, which began December 3rd, are ongoing, with a new proposal to be considered today. An estimated 170 vessels are now backed up waiting to load. USDA's mandatory reporting system announced three large soybean sales Monday morning. Unknown destinations booked 233,700 metric tons of old crop beans and 125,000 metric tons of new crop. Private exporters sold 33,000 metric tons of soybean oil for 2020-2021 delivery. The weekly export inspections report said 1.447 million metric tons of soybeans were reported for exported rather for the week ending on Christmas Eve. They revised last week's shipments to the third highest for the marketing year at 2.81 million metric ton. Commitment of traders data from Monday of last week showed 9,011 contracts increased to bean oil, and new sellers outnumbered new buyers, reducing net longs by 1,595 contracts to 188,623. Soybean meal traders were 83,385 contracts long, up 6,178. Soybean oil traders were also new net buyers on the week, extending net long by 3.5% to 101,253 contracts. Again, soybean futures were 7 to 8¼ cents lower. And finally, in your wheat, to start off another short week, wheat futures closed the Monday session in the red. Chicago Board of Trade was 7¾ to 12¾ cents lower. Kansas City wheat down 10¼ to 12. The weekly data from the Commitment of Traders and the CFTC showed Chicago spec traders 6,233 contracts net long on Monday the 21st. That was a 439 contract decrease to the net long week over week. Commitment of traders had managed money at 51,544 contracts long back on Monday. That was a decrease of 1,069. Hard red wheat spec traders were net sellers on the week, reducing their positions by 2,400 contracts. And the USDA weekly export inspections showed 303,809 metric tons of wheat shipped for the week ending on Christmas Eve. That's down 392,000 from 2 weeks ago and 312,000 last year. China sold 484,427 metric tons of wheat from state reserves last week, about 12% of the total offer. The average selling price was 2,341 yen, which is equal to $9.76 a bushel. Taiwan issued a tender for 82,325 metric tons of U.S. wheat. So recapping again, your grain futures from yesterday, Monday, March corn closed at 456.5, up 5.5. May corn at 457, up 5.25. July corn 454.5, up 4.25. Soybeans had January at 1255.25, down 8.25. March beans 1257.25, down 7.25. May beans 1255.25, down 7.5. Soybean meal for January closed at 415.30, down $1.50. January soybean oil 41.72, down 12 cents. Finally, in the wheat markets, Chicago wheat closed at 416.25, down by 12.75. Kansas City wheat closed at 577, down 12. Now we'll move on and take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday, Monday's cash grain report.
This is Monday's report of grain price and trend prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. The Illinois country grain prices are mixed on Monday afternoon. In northern West Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 10 cents higher at 427 to 459. Soybean bids are down 4 cents at 1205 to 1243. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 8 to 10 cents higher at 439 to 465. Soybean bids are down 4 cents at 1232 to 1261. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids are 10 cents higher at 447 to 490. Soybean bids are down 4 cents at 1242 to 1291. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids are 1 to 4 cents lower at 1258 to 1275. Basis is unchanged, up 3 at 3 over to 20 over the January. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered 415.30 to 425.30 a ton, down 390 to 590 a ton, with basis steadied up to at option to 10 over the January. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids are up 9 cents at 457 to 482, with basis unchanged at option to 25 over the March. Illinois River barge flooding elevators quoted their producer corn bids 9 to 10 cents higher at 468 to 474, with basis steady to up 1 at 11 over to 17 over the March. Soybeans ended down 2 to 4 cents at 1263 to 1267, with basis steadied up 2 at 8 over to 12 over the January. East St. Louis barge flooding commodity place their producer corn bids up 9 to 10 cents at 494 to 496. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 4 cents, quotations at 1291 to 12. Soft wheat closed down 16 cents at 643 to 644. Milo ended the day up 10 cents at 527 to 532. Contract bids producers for January delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 429 to 460. Soybeans at 1205 to 1243. In the central part of the state, corn for January delivery at 437 to 479. Soybeans at 1232 to 1261. And in the southern part of the state, corn for January delivery at 447 to 490. Soybeans at 1242 to 1291. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures from yesterday, Monday, to start off another short week. After the extended holiday Christmas weekend, live cattle futures closed 32 to 90 cents higher. Lean hog futures ended the session off their lows, but they were still 32 to 45 cents lower. December fat cattle ended the session at 113.05 with 3 trade days left and 1,494 contracts open as of Christmas Eve. Feeder cattle futures closed up 2 to 7 cents. The Christmas feeder cattle index was at 138.29, down 17 cents on that Friday. Monday cash trade was quiet as expected. Wholesale box beef prices were mixed Monday, widening the choice to select spread to $11.17 a hundredweight. Choice boxes were up 28 cents in the afternoon report. Selects were down $1.28. The commitment of traders report showed short covering and new buying from live cattle traders in the week ending on Monday the 21st. On net, that increased managed money's net long 6,400 contracts to 47,600. For feeder cattle, managed money was 836 to net long of 3,358 contracts. USDA's estimated that Monday's federally inspected cattle slaughter was 119,000 head, and that is 300,000 head less than last week, which was 419,000 head for the 21st. Again, your live cattle and feeder cattle, both higher. Lean hog futures again ended their session off the lows, but they were still 32 to 45 cents weaker. Pork cutout futures closed the day down by 32 to 45 cents. The fresh bacon index from the Chicago Board of Trade was 27 cents weaker on the week ending Friday to 117.08. Last Tuesday's lean hog index was 61.62. USDA's national average base hog price was 50.04 Monday afternoon, down 39 cents from Wednesday of last week. The national pork carcass cutout value was 251 higher on significant volume of $582.52, which is the second highest since 2015, which is 71.85 now. Bellies and loins were the biggest movers with 6.18 and $5.34 increases. Lean hog speculative traders were 1,110 contracts more long back on Monday for short covering. That left them at 32,854 contracts net long in the Commitment of Traders report. USDA estimated the Monday hog slaughter at 490,000 head, and last week's full hog slaughter run was at 1.74 million head. So to recap your mixed livestock futures from yesterday, Monday, February cattle closed at 115.77 up 80. April live cattle closed at 119.52 up 55. June live cattle 114.80 up 32. January feeders at 141 even up 7. March feeders 142.60 up 27. April feeders 144.12 up 20. Finally, in your hogs, February hogs at 66.50, down 45. April hogs, 70.75, down 35. May hogs at 75.47, down 55. And the February pork cutout closed at 76.10, rather, down 45 cents. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Illinois Department of Ag in Springfield for yesterday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday afternoon livestock report. Started the National Daily Direct Hog Report. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass traded 88 cents lower, in range of $44 to $52, with a weighted average carcass price of $50.44. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow price were weak with light to moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded $20 to $25, 4 to 5 weighted $24 to $28. 5 to 6 weight at 27 to 32, and over 600 pounds, $30 to $34. On the Illinois direct hog trade, prices of barrels and gilts country buying points were steady, with light to moderate demand for moderate offerings range from $28 to $34. Packer receipts for barrels and gilts a total $25,261. In the direct cattle trade, the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers live basis trade at 105 to 106. From the National Daily Pork Plant Port, trading for retail and processing cuts was established, with a very heavy 582 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass was $71.85, which is $2.51 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice select beef carcass were trading mixed. Choice carcass 207.82, which is 28 cents higher, while select carcass 196.65, which is $1.28 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 67,000, compared to 160,000 last week, 117,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated 284,000, compared to 467,000 last week, and 485,000 one year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by the McAdams Millwright Service and by Linco Precision. Cloudy skies at the Weather Center right now, a temperature of 24 degrees. Part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you by Stein Seed and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, Auburn, and Jerseyville. And once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy. Now in Ag News for a Tuesday morning. Ethanol booster and Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says the COVID relief package is a win for biofuels despite leaving it up to the Ag Secretary to trigger producer aid. Grassley and junior Iowa GOP Senator Joni Ernst lobbied Secretary Sonny Perdue for 6 months to use earlier COVID relief aid for impacted biofuel producers, but to no avail.
The secretary kept telling us he didn't have the authority to do it. And we said, yes, you do, but he didn't agree. So this makes very clear he has the authority to do it.
The relief package, now under a veto threat by President Trump, makes renewable fuel producers eligible to receive emergency relief, but leaves the final decision up to the Ag Secretary.
Does it guarantee that there will be any help? Maybe not under a Purdue, but I'll bet there will be under a Vilsack.
He's referring to Biden USDA nominee and former Obama USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack, a former Iowa governor. The pandemic has ravaged the ethanol industry, causing nearly $4 billion in estimated losses from reduced fuel demand. That's amounting to about 700 million bushel of corn. Now moving on into livestock news. As of December 1st, U.S. farms contained 77.5 million hogs and pigs. That's down 1% from December of last year and down 1% from September of this year. Those numbers were published last week by the USDA's National Ag Statistics Service. Of the 77.5 million hogs, 71.2 were market hogs, while 6.28 million were kept for breeding. Between September and November of this year, 35 million pigs were weaned on U.S. farms, down 1% from the same period last year, while U.S. hog producers weaned an average of 11 hogs a litter. Hog producers intend to have 3.12 million sows farrow between December and February, and 3.12 sows farrow between March and May of next year. Iowa producers held the largest inventory amount of the states at 24.8 million head. Minnesota was next with 9.4, and North Carolina third with 9 million. To get the most accurate measurement possible of the U.S. wine industry, NAS surveyed more than 6,000 producers across the country through the first half of December. And now taking a look at Illinois hog numbers. Inventory of all hogs and pigs as of December 1st in Illinois was 5.45 million head, up 1% from September 1st, 2020, but unchanged from last year. Breeding inventory at 570,000 head is down 10,000 head from the previous quarter and down 20,000 from last year. Market hog inventory at 4.88 million head, that's up 1% from last quarter and slightly higher from last year. The September through November 2020 pig crop at 3.19 million head is up 4% from 2019. Sows farrowing during this period totaled 295,000 head, up 15,000 from last year, and the average pigs per litter was 10.8 for the September to November period, compared to 10.95 last year. Moving on to the latest grain news, China imported a record amount of corn in November, giving rise to optimism that prices may be getting into their longest rally since 1988. Pro Farmer says China bought 12 times more corn last month than in 2019. Customs data shows that for the first 11 months of this year, imports more than doubled to 9 million tons, passing China's World Trade Organization commitment of 7.2 million tons, for the first time in history. The surge in corn imports pushed the overall Chinese grain price higher. An official with the Chinese Ag Ministry says the southeastern Asian country has boosted imports of other feed grains like barley and dried distillers' grains to help narrow the supply gap. Higher prices are likely to give farmers the incentive to increase their corn planting next year, ensuring farmers have basic self-sufficiency. China imported 1.3 million tons of corn in November, up 113% from November of last year, while imports for the year totaled 9.04 million tons through November. That's up 122.7% from the same time last year. And China's soybean imports are expected to be a record high, according to Reuters. The nation is expected to import more than 100 million metric tons of soybeans this year, as the nation looks to rebuild its hog herd, boosting demand for soybeans. An executive with China's state-owned grains trader, COFCO, told Reuters the country is expected to crush 92.6 million metric tons of beans this year. The record follows declines in demand stemming from African swine fever, which decimated China's hog population. Chinese officials claim the country's hog herd has recovered to more than 90% of normal levels, though that data has some analysts skeptical. Still, China expects the demand for protein, specifically soybeans, for animal feed to remain strong into the first 3 months of next year. For 2020, demand for bean oil is expected to increase by more than 6% as well, thanks to the increased use of the oil in biodiesel and in animal feeds. Amid the trade war and the coronavirus pandemic, this year has provided a challenging year for farmers. However, there are some bright spots. One of those bright spots includes government payments to farmers that surged to record numbers under the Trump administration. According to Rodney Weinzerl, executive director of the Illinois Corn Growers Association, one prominent bright spot was the United States, Canada, and Mexico trade deal.
A lot of what we would view as big accomplishments are things that help us on the demand side. And to start is the passage of the U.S.-Mexico-Canadian agreement is really important. I cannot understate the importance that Mexico is to U.S. agriculture as an importer of corn, soybeans, pork, beef, a whole host of products that really Mexico by far is our biggest market for corn and corn products. Canada is a big importer and customer of corn, ethanol, distiller dried grains, and solubles. So that passage of that agreement and creating kind of certainty with our two big trading partners was really, really important for the next decade and probably the next generation of farmers, especially around corn and beans and livestock.
Weinzerl said another stride for farmers in the past year was waterway improvements on the Mississippi and Illinois River. And in other ag news, as it relates to precision agriculture, ag retailers are increasingly adopting digital solutions to improve their operational efficiency and enhance customers' overall service experience. GrowMark FS is expanding its partnership with Salinftech. Salinftech is a Brazilian company with 13 years of experience developing digital ag solutions for the largest ag operations in the world on more than 22 million acres of row crops, sugarcane, coffee, and citrus. By marrying logistics, analytics, and real-time weather data with algorithms, Salinftech significantly increases partners' machinery and input use efficiency, improving crop yield and reducing environmental impact. To explain more on the expanding partnership with Salinftech, we'll join Nokomis native Lance Rupert, GrowMark's Director of Agronomy Marketing Technology.
Salinftech's a Brazilian company that we were introduced to almost 3 years ago. It'll be 3 years ago this coming February. And what was a curiosity to me at that time was, you know, our FS member companies and retail organizations, you know, have a lot of equipment and a lot of people running those pieces of equipment. And Salinftech was a company that we thought could potentially help us become more efficient with those pieces of equipment so we could get over more acres in a day and, you know, service our customers at a higher level. So we worked with a handful of member companies to collect data initially so Salinftech could, you know, understand how they did their business, how they serviced their customers through operations, getting everything sprayed and fertilizer applied. And they're a pretty sophisticated tech company with artificial intelligence and, you know, ran the data and saw, you know, certain parameters that they thought we could, you know, improve upon to be more efficient. And then they built a, you know, a software solution to help us manage our fleets at a higher level. So, you know, just to get across more acres per day and to do a better job of executing on those acres as well.
Lance further breaks down the technology, explaining that GPS is the backbone of the system, but explains that artificial intelligence is what really does the job.
What the AI really comes into is, you know, today an FS company might have, you know, orders to, you know, let's say apply a herbicide to a dozen fields, you know, in a day. Today it's a manual process done by people, of course, you know, kind of the way they lay out the day and how they travel and things like that. What they've done to help, you know, one area to be more efficient is they take all those fields into account. And they let algorithms and artificial intelligence tell us first, you know, what would be the best path for the day to cover the least amount of miles and to cover the fields that are on the schedule the most efficiently. After the artificial intelligence, the computer kind of spits out potentially the quote-unquote right answer, you know, they also allow people to say, well, we need to tweak this or tweak that. So it's a little bit of a combination between AI and, you know, algorithms helping us make better decisions, potentially without bias, or things that just the human eye can't see. But then they also allow humans to interact with it, you know, because there's always cases where things need to be tweaked due to other circumstances.
Lance also explains that this will ultimately save time with the new technology, which then in turn saves man hours, maintenance costs, fuel costs, and anything else associated with an ag retail business.
Absolutely. A big one for our companies is growers are planting faster and faster, and just being able to get across the acres that we need to timely get things done with the ability, again, for growers to plant a lot of acres in a short amount of time. And then with the weather situations we seem to have, you know, those windows for applications, especially in the spring, seem to get tighter and tighter. So the more acres we can get across efficiently every day that we have open to do that, you know, is a benefit to everybody.
And finally, Lance explains the ongoing and upcoming projects for the new year.
I'd say, you know, we're always trying to strive to bring better information and training to our crop specialists to help train them, and so they can bring information and value and recommendations to our growers. You know, digital technology, bringing information closer to our customers right at their fingertips, right at their smartphone level, is something we've been working on for a couple of years, and, you know, we're getting closer and closer to having that ability to really, you know, put information right in the palm of our customers' hands. So those are two big projects we're working on currently as we go into 21.
And again, that's Nokomis native Lance Rupert, GrowMark's Director of Agronomy Marketing Technology. And that'll conclude your Ag News here on a Tuesday morning. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by email at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Tuesday morning, December 29th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.